blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter number 5, stanzas 1 and 2. O Lord, how are my foes increased? Against me many rise. How many say in vain for help, he on his God relies. 1 and 2 of Psalter 5.
Ask your attention for the last book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 6, but before that, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelations 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. And I saw and beheld a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, Come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see, thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, Come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them, that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord, it was a book that no man could open, and neither look thereon, that was given unto the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, who could open that book. He who did himself appear as that lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, having seven horns and having seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, which go forth into all this world, as so that that book may be opened, the book of prophecy, the book wherein thy servant John was given to see and to write of those things which would come to pass in the future. For the sake of thy church, even to the end of this world. For it has never changed from the beginning, that it is a church that must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. But thou didst show unto him that thou dost sit upon that white horse with a bow in thine hand, and a crown was given unto thee, and thou dost yet even to this day go forth conquering and to conquer. O Lord, thou who art the same, and who hast promised unto thy church and that which is necessary even unto the end, though that the world should be covered with red blood by the forces of the prince of darkness, even though the world should be filled with evil doctrines and customs which do bring men into perdition, yet thou dost conquer with thy bow, and thou thyself will be victorious as thou dost sit upon that red horse, that white horse. Oh, that we may also experience it, we and our dear children. Do remember all and in this world that suffer persecution. O Lord, wilt thou uphold those that mourn, those that miss those whom they love? Then it can seem unto them in these times that thou seest not, and that thou hearest not, but thy decree that will be performed even to the end of this world, and that thou may give unto them courage, and that thou may give to them strength, and wilt thou visit them with thy love and with thy favor, and with thy communion, and when they must go forward in this life, and when they know not their life for another day, and when there are none to protect them here below, then thou art their protector from above. Oh, that thou who doest thy own will in the heavens and in the earth mayst give them also to agree with thy will and thy good pleasure in all things, and that therein they may have a little comfort and a little strength, and that their hearts may be weaned away from everything that is here below, and that they might look also with a good foundation for the time that they may exchange all that is here below for a great and never-ending eternity. Wilt thou teach us with our children? For thou knowest how that we do live in all of our prosperity. Oh, that thou may teach us also, for it can be that not so long away these things will come in our midst. And when we have heard also of others in our denomination here in the Netherlands, a young man, a child, O Lord, thou knowest all those that mourn, then these are impossible ways for our flesh. But, O, give that bowing before the King, and that thy will may be done in everything. And wilt thou bless thy word, all that it may be brought, O Lord, into our hearts. For we know not the number of our days, and it is a serious matter to have a soul and to be traveling to a great and never-ending eternity. Oh, do bind this matter upon the hearts of young and old together, who know not our life for a moment, and yet extend our days indefinitely. Oh, that thou may give us ears to hear thy word, and hearts that may understand it. May thou give also more men to bring that word, and to remember our curatorium, and the students, the instructors, and when the exams will soon take place. Wilt thou give help from the sanctuary, and that it may be possible to send forth another student among the vacant congregations to speak an edifying word. Wilt thou help the other student also from Sabbath unto Sabbath, and all those that bring thy word also, and him that labors upon the mission field. Lord, that thou may instruct us, and that we also may instruct others, and that thou may give those Aaron's and hers, that may hold up the hands of thy servants, and that they may be strengthened, and that they may be enabled to bring forth things new and old out of thy law. Do look upon all the congregation. Remember the child that has been brought home from the hospital in this week. And wilt thou strengthen that child, that she may also remain in that parental home, and that thou mayest give also there that life that we cannot give. Oh, that thou mayest look upon us as a flock, both young and old together, all with a non-perishing soul, a non-dying soul, that will either perish or that will live forever. O Lord, we ask of thee that thy spirit, which thou hast given in such a measure in the days that have gone by, may also be sent forth by thee in the days in which we live with our children. And that thou mayest work those wonders that we are not able to work. Help us to bring it to the ear, and give us strength, and give us wisdom, give us clarity, and give us the unction of thy Holy Spirit. And be thou in the midst of us in thy mercy, forgiving all that is amiss and sinful within and without, and blessing us undeservedly for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us now sing from Psalter number 66, stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Ever are my longing eyes toward the Lord, whose watchful care, when my foes their plots devise, keeps my feet from every snare. 1, 3, and 4 of Psalter 66. Beloved congregation, what is more precious than our life? Even Satan said, skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his life. The Apostle Paul said that for a righteous man, scarcely would a man die. And yet for a good man, there are some that would even dare to die. But would we dare to die for the sake of the truth? What is the opposite of the truth? That is a lie. Would you rather die, children, or lie? How precious is the truth to our heart. Over against all the lies of the prince of darkness, the truth ought to be more precious than our very life. Why? Because it is concerning our temporal welfare and also our eternal welfare. And we wish to consider something of this with you out of the book of Acts, the 7th chapter, the book of Acts, chapter 7, and thereof the first part of verse 59. Acts 7, verse 59, the first part, and they stoned Stephen. So far, the words of our text. The beginning of death for the sake of Jesus. In three thoughts, first, a sight of Jesus. Second, a prayer to Jesus. And third, asleep in Jesus. The beginning of death for the sake of Jesus. First, a sight of Jesus. Second, a prayer to Jesus. And third, asleep in Jesus. Last week, congregation, we have considered this portion from the side of the Jewish council. This week, we wish to consider this portion from the side of Stephen. Stephen, who is sometimes called the first Christian martyr. What is a martyr? The word means to witness. In the beginning, that word was not associated necessarily with death, but it means simply to witness. Later on, then it came to mean those that were willing to give their life, those that were willing to die for the sake of witnessing to the truth. In the history of the church, this witnessing to the truth, we do that too. We witness to the truth. In the history of the church, such a witnessing that has proven to be not so difficult when we are living in prosperity. And that is always so, that those times were times when the churches were full. But it was very different in those times of persecution. Are we also ready for such times of persecution? Peter thought he was ready. He thought that he would be able to stand in a time of persecution. But at that time that he thought he was ready, there was no enemy near. They were not standing around him. And it became very different in that time that persecution came very, very close to him. When death came right unto the door. And so it has proved in the church of all ages. Man, he was created with a desire by the Lord to live. That is, to protect his own life. And our life, that is a gift of God. And that is a very solemn thing. when a man is called to pass out of this life, a martyr. Some say that Jesus was a martyr. Is that so? Well, certainly he has given his life for the witness unto the truth. But that is not all that Christ has given his life for. No, Christ is not just a martyr. Christ has given his life as a vicarious substitute. The death of Christ is an actual atonement. That death is standing in the place of the death of his own people. The death of Christ was an actual satisfaction to the justice of God for other persons other than himself. The death of Christ was the antitype. It was the antitype of all of the deaths, of all of the slain beasts that have gone before him in the time. But those are things that many persons who call themselves Christians today do not believe. They deny this. It is said that Christ is but an example to follow, and that Christ has given his life as a martyr. And that is now the reason, because we must follow him in his martyrdom, that the Lord, he has also said to his church that there was going to be persecution, and that some of you are going to have to give your own life for the truth. That is so, of course, that Christ has so spoken concerning his church. But it is not merely to follow the example of Christ. It is not only so that a man may, as it were, merit his own redemption. No, far from this. And yet for that church, it is indeed going to be a way that is following him. And Christ has encouraged his own people, his flock, in that way. He has encouraged them to be faithful unto death. And that he would give to them a crown of life. Whosoever would save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Man is not a martyr till after he dies. He is never a martyr before that he dies. And yet many have sought that glory that man attributes to martyrdom, a glory that a man never receives in his lifetime, that a man pictures himself to have after that he is gone. Thus there have been persons who have actually sought out martyrdom. That is, for the sake of the honor that they would receive from man. Is that martyrdom? That is no martyrdom. What is a martyr? A martyr is not a man who is willing to die in order to glorify himself. No, a martyr is a man who is willing to die for the sake of the truth. The Lord knows who his martyrs are. We can hear the Lord has spoken to the angel of the church in Pergamos. And then he said, Antipas is my faithful martyr. Thus the Lord knows every one of those who are his own true martyrs. And so it is also with Stephen. What do we read? But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Oh, how little do we realize that the Lord, he is looking, that the Lord is watching over every one of his own church. We are so carnally minded. We are so earthly minded. Stephen did not know what was going to happen when he was standing here in this court, in this before this council with the Sanhedrin. He did not know the future. It was certainly for him a very dangerous thing that he would witness for Christ. Well, he knew that these same men, he knew that these same Jews had already condemned Christ himself, that they had crucified him, that there was no repentance in this regard. He knew that there was enmity against him that lived in their heart. He knew that there was pride in their own heart, and that everything that Christ had brought did militate against those things which were most to the honor and to the glory of these fleshly Pharisees and scribes. No, he did not know the future. He did know also what took place, of course, on the day of Pentecost. He knew also the power, the great power of the Holy Spirit to convince a man that he would say, men and brethren, what shall we do? No, he did not know what that future was going to be. But now in that rage of that enemy that begins to show itself against Stephen, then the eye of Stephen is given to penetrate for a moment into the third heavens. And there the Lord opens to him something. There he sees the Son of Man. There he sees this Jesus, this Son of Man, of whom he has been testifying unto this council. Thus the Lord appears to Stephen. He shows himself, that he may strengthen him, that he may encourage him in this last struggle that he needs to fight. How did he see him? We read, he saw him standing at the right hand of God. What is the right hand of God? The right hand is the hand of power. The right hand of God is a representation of the power of God. And thus Stephen sees him in this place. How great that power of Christ has appeared to him in these moments. Especially great because Stephen had no power in this world. Stephen was standing here at the bar before all of his enemies. Those enemies had the power to condemn him. those enemies had the power to take away his life. He had no power to protect himself. There was nothing that he could do to convince these men. There was nothing that he could do to defend himself against their physical power. Thus, what a great consolation that it was for Stephen to be able to see Christ at the right hand of God. What is then all the power of man? What is then all the power of the counsels of men here in this world compared to the power of the Son of Man at the right hand of God? Not only so, but Stephen saw him there at that right hand, we read, standing. Thus he was not sitting, but he was ready to do something. That is what we do, children. You are now sitting. You sit. You are passive. You listen. But if you were going to do something, you would have to stand up. And Stephen, when he saw the Lord Jesus, he saw him not only at the right hand of power, but he saw him standing there. That means that he saw him ready to exert the power of God. What is the power of God? That is the power that has made this world. That is the power over every creature in this world. That is the power that has brought men and beasts into existence. That is the power that is able to conquer all enemies, even Satan itself, himself, even sin itself. And now he is ready to exert. He is ready to stretch forth his hand. He is watching over his own church. Stephen sees him there, ready to come to his help. Congregation, how good that the Lord is. You say, Stephen had to die an awful death. It is true. Or even to think upon such a death, where a large stone would be thrown upon a man from above, and when he is not slain thereby, many other stones to be thrown at him, children, and then we tremble even to think about the awfulness of the death of being stoned, you say. Oh, how is that possible? You say, God is good when he allows Stephen to die such an awful death. Oh, that is true. But there is more. Oh, there is so much more, because the Lord was so close to Stephen when he died. Oh, would you covet the blessing of Stephen? That the Lord would be so very close to you in your death? The Lord is able to make it so easy to die, even such a death as Stephen had to die. Do we believe this? The Lord does not forsake his people. No, we want to have it all in our pocket. We want to be able to exercise faith whenever that we wish. We do not want to be dependent upon the Lord whose gift faith is. Oh, the Lord indeed is so good. Oh, what would we give to have such a sight as Stephen had? When we are laying on our deathbed, if we may have a deathbed, what would we give to have such a sight of Jesus? Oh, how this would comfort our soul in our death. But congregation, do we also desire to have a sight of him in our life? Do we have a desire to have a sight of him rather than a sight of all the other things that we can have sights of here below? Rather than to enter into the mysteries of so many things of this world, that we could enter into the mystery of the redemption of Christ Jesus for a poor, for a wretched sinner? No. Have we never had a desire in our life to have a sight of Jesus, that is, that he may reveal himself to our soul? If we have to say no, then we should not expect that we should have such a sight of him in our death. No, that is a vain hope. It is a vain expectation, but it is not a vain expectation for his church, for his people. They may ask for that, that the Lord may give this to them. They may hope for this. Why? Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. A sight of Jesus. Secondly, a prayer to Jesus. What do we read? And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh, what do we think? If we would have a sight of Jesus, do you think that your heart would begin to pray to Jesus? Oh, how drawing are all the revelations of him. And when his people may see him, and when they may be privileged to enter into a little portion of the blessedness of Jesus, then their heart goes out after him. It goes out after him with desires, with longings. That is what we read here. The word God here, calling upon God. The word God actually is not in the original text. That is a word that has been supplied by our translators. Thus, what does it actually say? It says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And thus, calling upon and saying, Lord Jesus. Thus, to whom did Stephen pray? Say he prayed to Jesus. Who do we pray to when we pray? Naturally, we pray to the Father. We pray in the name of the Son, in Jesus' name, children, or for Jesus' sake. So we pray to the Father, in the name of the Son, and in dependence upon the Holy Spirit. But Stephen here prays unto the Son. Thus, when he prays to the Son, he acknowledges that the Son is whom? God. Why is that? Because we may not pray to anyone but God. But he prays to the Son, which means that Stephen acknowledged the Son to be God. Behold, I see the heavens opened. he says. Where was he? In heaven. He acknowledges him to be God, but at the same time, he calls him the Son of Man. And the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Thus, he prays to him, acknowledging him to be divine. And at the same time, he calls him human. He calls him the Son, not of God, but the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus often called himself in this world the Son of Man. But here we hear him called the Son of Man by Stephen. And when the Lord reveals himself as the Son of Man, then he reveals a relation. He says that I also have your nature, that I am one of you. Then he says to his children that I am one of your brethren. Thus now Stephen, in his great distress, he beholds two things. He beholds the Son of God. He beholds the power of God. And that it is held in the hands of the Son of Man. Thus, what a great comfort, what a great expectation that the Lord gives to Stephen in the moments before his death. That he may with much expectation, in true faith, be drawing down to him the blessings that are coming out of the Son of Man at the right hand of power. That is not a vain expectation for the true church of God. Oh, that is a great help to faith. When the Lord may reveal himself unto his children, that he may overcome all the inhibitions to supplicating, to prayer, the great majesty of God, the great unworthiness that lives within himself. Oh, how good the Lord is. And a stoned Stephen, calling upon and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. It is an imitation of Jesus himself, who has said in his death, into thy hands I commend my spirit. But he had the power to lay down his life, and he had the power to take his life again. Stephen had not that power. But what does Stephen do? Then he asks the Lord to receive his spirit. He asks the Lord to take his spirit unto himself. That spirit was not going to die. No, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, fear not them, which kill the body, but are not able to kill your soul. Do you believe that, young people? Because we live in a world that many people do not believe that. There are many people who are atheists, or for other reasons believe that dead is dead. That is certainly the way it looks, doesn't it? When a body is laying there in that casket, all then it seems like there is nothing anymore. But do you believe that the soul, that the spirit still lives? And what does that soul do? What are the aspects of the soul of a man? It thinks. It is a mind. It also loves. It has affections. It is a will. All those things, they are still there. The soul cannot die. The soul is absolutely indestructible. The soul is one unit. There is nothing that can be divided. There are no parts. There is no death unto a soul. Every soul that is brought into being exists in being and remains in being forever and forever. Fear not them which kill the body and are not able to kill the soul. Stephen understood that. Oh, he says, receive my spirit. Or he asks the Lord to take care of the eternal part, to take care of the part that never dies. Do you know what the Lord said to Hezekiah? He said, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. That is so important, that a man sets his house in order when he is going to die, because there are others around him which are affected in his death. But congregation is not the most important. Are the matters of our soul set in order? Are they set in order before we have to die? And when will that day of death be? And thus, when will we set in order the things of our soul? To whom is that spirit going to go? In the day of our death, is that going to go unto Jesus? Or is it going to go unto Satan, because it is either the one or the other? Stephen was called away very quickly. He was called away in a moment. And so, children, you say that cannot be. I am a child, and I have a long life ahead of me. Well, we just heard that in the consistory room. Little child. In the Netherlands, was run over on a farm. Oh, children, we know what can happen in our own congregation, young people, young men in Norwich. One moment. Oh, are the spiritual things set in order? Or are going to wait? Going to wait until when? Until we become old? Oh, what happens in Nigeria? What happens in so many places? It comes so close to us now. By the way of church relations. But it is happening day after day after day. Hundreds of people are slain, and that for the sake of the word of God. Oh, Stephen was called so quickly out of this life. Are we prepared? There are so many. The Lord Jesus says, I will say unto them, I know you not. Will he say that also to us? If we had last Sabbath day been part of that church, and we were now today 1 week already in eternity, where would our place, your place, my place, where would that now be? Do you have a good hope? What is the basis of that hope? Do you have evidences in your life? Is there a good foundation in your life for that hope? Stephen had a good hope. Oh, Jesus was not unknown to him. Stephen was not unknown to Jesus. Oh, there were evidences that became manifest in his life. We hear that also in the last supplication of Stephen. What was that? It was a prayer for his enemies. And he kneeled down, we read, and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." How is it possible? Would you do that? Would I do that? This congregation is grace. This is a great grace that is contrary to our flesh, to what lives in us, to make a supplication for those that hate us and that hate the Lord. How alone is that possible? It is possible when the Lord shows to us and when we have to live out every day that truth, that I am no different than they are. That accepted be for the grace of God. Then these are only the same as I am. They were no vain words that Peter spoke, that Stephen spoke when he began this discourse. What did he say? Men, brethren, and fathers. Oh, there was love that was living in his heart for this people. These were not Gentiles. These were not heathen enemies. No. But his enemies were the men of his own house. That was foretold by the Lord Jesus. And there was love in his heart for these people. And thus the supplication of Stephen that is coming out of that grace that was taught to him by the Spirit of Christ himself, who has upon that cursed tree done the same, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Thus Stephen prays, full of the Holy Ghost. Let us sing Psalter 13, 1, 2, and 3. Jehovah, my God, on thy help I depend. From all that pursue me, O save and defend. Lest they like a lion should rend me at will, while no one is near me, they're raging too still. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter 13. Thank you. they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Thus our third thought, asleep in Jesus. He fell asleep. What does that mean? That means he died. The Lord Jesus is sometimes called death sleeping. Thus, he spoke about the daughter of the ruler of the synagogue, and he said, the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. What do you think, children? Do you think she was dead? Yes, certainly she was dead. That is why the people laughed him to scorn, knowing, we read, that she was dead. The same was concerning Lazarus. Our friend Lazarus sleepeth. But later he said, Lazarus is dead. Thus, why is the Lord Jesus sometimes called death sleeping? Well, he was going to raise these dead persons. He was going to raise them out of death. The same way that a man is awakened out of his sleep. Thus, temporal death is temporary. Temporal death is not forever. But that real sleep that we may speak of concerning a man's death really concerns only the true church. Why? Because the wicked miss the rest that is experienced by the true church in their death. So we can write, here rests upon our gravestones. But that does not make it true. No, it is true in the truest sense for the church of God. Paul, he said, for the hope of the resurrection of the dead am I called in question. The hope of the resurrection of the dead. Thus, the church of God goes to sleep. They go to sleep with the hope of the resurrection of the dead. But that cannot be said of the wicked. He fell asleep. How is that possible? That Stephen died, children. Did not Stephen pray? Did not Stephen see Jesus standing at the right hand of God? Did Jesus then have no power against all those enemies to deliver Stephen from death? Stephen did not pray for that. He did not ask the Lord Jesus even to deliver him to prevent his death. No, he asked him, Lord, receive my spirit. That was by the inspiration of that Spirit of God that Stephen was seeking the greatest blessings. Do we also seek the greatest blessings if we die without Christ? And then we die in our sin. And then death remains a curse, and death remains a punishment. But that was not so for Stephen. No, for Stephen, death was a translation. Receive my spirit. Then his spirit will be translated from a body of sin and death. It will be translated into that temple of God. It will be translated into heaven. Thus for Stephen, that death will be his final deliverance. That is the reason that Christ was standing, not to deliver him from that death, but he was standing that he may deliver his soul, that he may take his soul, that he may bring it unto himself, that he may present it unto his Father. There he may dwell with him. What does the Lord say of his church? He says, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Whosoever will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. He fell asleep. Asleep in Jesus. What does the Bible say? And we fly away. After the death of Stephen, then his soul flew away. Then it flew away unto Jesus. And there it was clothed. It was clothed with a long white garment. How do we know that? Well, we just read that together. John saw that. In that heavenly vision, there on the Isle of Patmos, where the Lord had revealed to him things which were shortly to come to pass. And then we heard that that Lamb opened that fifth seal, and saw, we heard, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. Thus, he may see also the soul of Stephen. Where was it? We read, it was under the altar. What is that altar? That altar is Christ himself. Thus, those souls of those departed martyrs of the Lord, they are declared by the Lord to be hidden under the shadow of the wings of Christ. There they may enjoy his presence. There they may enjoy his protection. There may they may enjoy his communion. And we heard they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? That is a remarkable thing. Because what did we just hear? We just heard that in the death of Stephen, in the last moments of his life, Stephen was praying for his enemies. And now we hear that in the next moments, when his soul has flown away, and when it was hidden underneath that altar, that it began to pray for the avenging of his blood. Thus, it seems to be contradictory. You say, how can it be? In one moment, he is praying for his enemies. In the next moment, he is praying that his death may be avenged. But they are not contradictory. Those are two things that belong together. Why? Because Stephen prays for justice. And these two things that Stephen prayed for are simply the two sides of justice. The one side that is forgiveness, for those who may be found in Christ, and the other side, that is avenging of the blood of the martyrs for those who are not found therein. Martyred saints, they were calling. Calling, we read here, for the judging and avenging of their blood. They are now in heaven. They are now under the altar. They are now under protection. But where are their brethren? Then we can read, they are still on the earth. They are still suffering. Thus, those souls under the altar, and they are calling for the end. How long will that be? Until the suffering of all our brethren that must be slain as we were, that must be martyred as we were. How long will it be ere their suffering shall come to an end? How long? Thus, there is a representation of the fact that there will be time, that the persecutions that are on the earth are going to be allowed to continue for some time. The Lord Jesus said, the disciple is not above his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you, and the persecution of Christians that is still alive and well in this world. Oh, would we also make a profession? If we were in a place like Nigeria, young people, what does it mean to us to make a profession? There were slain fathers and mothers, young people, children, everyone, whole families. What will you say then to mother and father, children? Maybe we should not go to church. Maybe we should not profess that religion, because there are enemies. And if they hear about it, well, then they will shoot us too. Then you will be very afraid. All those persecutions, they are alive and well in the time in which we live. And if they were now in our time, how would we act? How would we act toward our persecutors? Would we do as Stephen? Would we be able to pray that the Lord would not hold these things to their charge? Why, we leave it to the martyrs that are under the altar to beseech the Lord for our deliverance. The Lord says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. The souls under the altar, and they are given white robes, and they are admonished to rest a little while. That, of course, is not literal. No one can see a soul. You cannot see a spirit. A soul, a spirit, is not able to wear a robe. It is not physical. No, the Lord is saying something with this. He is speaking about the condition, the state and the condition of his church after their martyrdom, while they are waiting for that general judgment, while they are waiting for the resurrection of their mortal bodies, and they are given white robes, and they are told to rest a while. What is a white robe? That is a representation of purity. Purity. Oh, then we may ask that blessed church of God, who longs from the first day of that new birth for a pure heart. Oh, ask them what deliverance is. Then it is not merely or only that they may be given a right to glory, but it is also that they may be delivered from sin itself. And thus the Lord represents that church. They are now given a place by Him. And then everything that can grieve their soul, that is completely taken away. And in all their beseechings, they are told that they must rest a little while, a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Thus, it has yet to continue a little while to try them that dwell on the earth. But it is but a little while. That is, it seems so long unto those who are suffering. But now in comparison to that great eternity, it is indeed but a little season. And so John saw the soul of Stephen after that he was stoned. And he saw the souls of all them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony that they held. There is an old saying, it is not the dying, but it is the cause of dying that makes a martyr. What do we read here? For the word of God and for the testimony which they held. There have been people who have given their lives for political causes, for social causes, even for religious causes, which were not slain for the word of God. There are religions, there are cults, young people. Oh, be careful. Because we have so much that we can get information today so easily. And then there are sometimes also young people that are drawn away with things that are so evil. Religions and cults who glorify death, who glorify martyrdom, who glorify persecutions for their own sake. That say such a person who so suffers, such a person who so gives his life, they give evidence that they are one of that true church. But it does not make us a true martyr. No, it can be suicide. What did the Lord Jesus say to his disciples? He says, when they persecute you in this city, flee unto the next. And there can be times that a man has a responsibility to remain at his post, but in general, oh, then the Lord says, flee. Then a man naturally will flee for his own life's sake. Oh, Peter makes a difference. He says, let none of you suffer as evildoers, but if any of you suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but glorify God on this behalf. Oh, it is so important that we know the truth, because there are also errors for which persons have given their life, and their soul has never come
under that altar. But that truth, the truth of God, ought to be more precious to us than our own life. As those who love not their lives unto the death, oh, in a moment's time, we must be ready. In a moment's time, we must be ready to depart, to leave this life at the call of Him who calls our soul away, who desires to take His bride unto Himself, that she may dwell with Him. Oh, Stephen, he was a deacon. And he was a deacon for only a very, very short time. We would say, how is that for the good of the church? There you have a man. Oh, he had great gifts. He is filled with the Holy Spirit. He can now serve that church for many, many years. And the Lord takes him away. And we think we know it better than the Lord. But what does the Lord say? He says, of whom the world is not worthy. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, do teach and lead us. Oh, that the truth may enter into our hearts. For we are foolish creatures, and we are led away with so many errors. But wilt thou grant us true conversion? Oh, that the love of thee may burn within, and that that truth may be planted within, as so that it is more to us than our life itself. For thy children are able to die and to meet thee, not from their own side, but from thy side. And thou wilt give unto each and every one of them what thou seest as fitting and necessary. Oh, that thou may give thy children a close life unto thyself. Oh, that they might cherish that blessed communion in their life, and that also in their death may be a comfortable one. Oh, prepare us both young and old, and give that we may not leave these matters for later, for later may never come. Wilt thou keep us in this day and in this week, and watch over each one, keeping from a sudden and an unprepared death. Give us diligence in the work of our hands, but that our thoughts and our meditations may be continually of thee, and that we may not cleave to all the things which distract us here below, from that one thing that is so needful for each and every one of us. O Lord, do it for thy name's sake. Remember those that mourn. Uphold them in these days, and wilt thou put away the evil. For Jesus' sake, amen. 92, stanzas 4 and 5. Unrighteous witnesses have stood and told of crimes beyond belief, returning evil for my good. They overwhelm my soul with grief. And what follows in 4 and 5 of Psalter 92. Thank you.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessing.